Welcome to the BaseCS podcast, where we explore the basics of computer science concepts. I'm your host, Saran, founder of Code Newbie.
And I'm Vaidehi Joshi, author and developer.
And she is the brilliant mind behind the BaseCS blog series. Today we're talking about
Bubble Sort. Well, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to do a drum roll.
This season of BaseCS is brought to you by DevDiscuss. DevDiscuss is a show I work on with a team at Dev, an international supportive community for developers. The show addresses the many burning topics that pop up on Dev every day and is hosted by Jess Lee and Ben Halpert, two of Dev's co-founders. Past episodes have included unpopular opinions with Kelsey Hightower, staff developer advocate at Google Cloud and a legendary voice in tech.
So an unpopular opinion should be like, computers were a mistake. Was this all worth it?
And how changing your name is a difficult, unsolved, and sometimes personally devastating problem in tech.
I basically walk through this world, through this minefield of not knowing when I'm going to have this like sort of deep emotional wound reopened.
As well as how little-known tools can have big productivity gains.
And I think it gives me the sense of structure, which I really enjoy. And also, you can color code different things.
Each episode features interesting guests from diverse backgrounds who are active in the software space. This podcast is your place for burning tech questions, answers, and genuine conversations. And we also end each episode with commentary from the everyday developers who call Dev home.
You'd be surprised how many things making music and coding have in common.
True to the dev community, DevDiscuss wouldn't be possible without the input from all of you. So listen, rate, and subscribe to DevDiscuss wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, what is Bubble Sort? I know it's an algorithm, right? Because we're talking about algorithms. Mm-hmm. What is this algorithm about? How does it work?
So Bubble Sort is also a sorting algorithm. We can give it a little bit more context there. Okay. It is a sorting algorithm that iterates through a collection or a list that's unsorted.
Okay.
And it compares every pair of adjacent elements in the list and compares them based on their size.
Okay.
So it's comparing two elements at a time, and it's basically looking at them and checking if they're in the right order. And if they're not in the right order, it swaps them. And it just continues to swap elements in pairs until the whole collection is sorted.
So that sounds like something I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It sounds easy. It sounds like straightforward. And bubble sort to me has always had this kind of scary image of like bubble sort. You know, it's always like seemed scary to me. But this seems like pretty straightforward. But to make sure, could we like walk through an example?
Yeah.
To make sure I think this is doing what I think it is
doing.
Yeah,
let's do it.
So let's do an example. Let's take a list of numbers. 9, 7, 4, 1.
Mm-hmm.
They are intentionally backwards in their sortingness in their organization.
Mm-hmm.
So 9, 7, 4, 1. Okay. So if I am a bubble sort algorithm,
mm-hmm.
you said that we're going to iterate through the list, mm-hmm. which I assume means we'll start at the first one.
Yep.
Okay. So we have 9.
Yep.
Okay. And then it says compare each pair of adjacent elements. So 9 and whatever's next to it, which is a 7.
Yep. Totally.
Okay.
What you're doing is you're starting with the first element and you're just comparing it to the next one. So in this case, 9 and 7.
Okay.
Because we're comparing, like we can literally think of comparison operators like greater than, less than, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and use that to look at the two elements and see if they are in order.
Okay.
Since we know we're trying to go from probably smallest to largest in ascending order.
Right. So I'm comparing my 9 and my 7 and I'm like, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
9 needs to be after 7. So now what do I do?
So now you know that the elements are out of order.
Yes.
And all you know are the two items in this pair, 9 and 7.
Mm.
So you know that one is larger. So you just need to swap them so that they're in the correct order.
Okay.
So in this case, you would swap 7 to come before 9 and 9 to come after 7. So you would move 9 to 7's position and swap 7 into 9's position.
Okay. So now my new list at this point in time is now 7, 9, 4, 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then if we look back at our algorithm again, it says that I'm going to compare, well, like 9 isn't in its right place yet. It needs to, if we're going to put it in order, we kind of need to be like all the way at the back, right? We need to put it at the end of the list.
Yep. Yep. And okay. What you're basically doing is you're kind of going to follow along with this first element until it's in its right spot.
Oh. Okay. So I'm going to stick with 9.
Yeah. It's like your first run of this algorithm. Well, it's the first run of the algorithm. And so you're kind of like, this run, I'm friends with 9, and I'm going to take 9 all the way to its nice little spot wherever it has to live.
Oh my God. I love that. Yes. Oh, okay. 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 I'm excited now. Okay. So I'm friends with 9. And
I'm friends with 14.
Why is yours bigger than mine? Okay, so I'm friends with 9. So I started by saying, hey, 9, we're buddies. I'm going to put you in your position so you're nice and comfy. And we're going to start by comparing you to your neighbor, which is 7. You are not in the right place, so I'm going to swap you with 7. And now we did a thing. We're not done with our run because we're still with 9, but we did a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, my new order currently is 7, 9, 4, 1. Mm-hmm. But now I have to compare my friend 9 to the next thing, which is 4.
Yep, you got it.
Okay, so now I go 9 and 4. Which one is bigger? 9 is bigger. Okay, 9, you're still not in the right place. Now I'm going to swap you.
Exactly. And when you're swapping, you're not really thinking that much or at all about the elements you've already looked at.
I don't really care about those.
Yeah.
Because I'm not friends with them. They can't sit with us.
So you're gonna swap 9 and 4, but the minute you do that and like you've moved on, you've compared the first and the second element, now you're comparing the second and the third element, and then you're gonna go on from second and third to third and fourth. Okay. And you kind of aren't really thinking about whether 7 and 4 are in the right position, because spoiler alert, they are not. But that's okay. We're not worried about that right now.
Right. Okay. So after my latest swap, my new order is 7, 4, 9, 1. Mm-hmm. I'm still with my 9. I'm still with my best friend 9. And I'm like, okay, there's one more neighbor that we need to talk to. So we're going to compare my 9 with my 1. Is 9 bigger than 1? Yes, it is. We're going to do our last swap.
Yep.
And now my 9 is at the end. And I guess I can, like, look for a neighbor. I can say, is there anyone else here? No, there isn't. Okay, cool.
Is there anyone out there? I'm at the edge of a cliff.
Tell me now. Yes.
And so I like that. I like the end of an array being like a little cliff where you're like, I'm all alone.
Yes. Oh, no. And then, then at that point, I've put 9 in its rightful place at the edge of the cliff. Mm-hmm. And as all 9 should be. And so I guess I'm done. Am I done being friends with 9?
Well, yeah. You're done being friends with 9 because you've taken it all the way home.
Yeah. Home. That's a much better place to be. We've taken it home.
To the good place. To its happy
place. To the good place. There you go.
But you're not, you're done with 9, but you're not done completely because after our first run, our list looks like 7, 4, 1, 9.
Okay.
So the only thing that's really sorted here is the number 9.
Okay, cool. So my new list, as you said, is 7, 4, 1, 9. Totally not sorted, but like in progress, right? We're like in the middle of
25%
things.
25%
done. 20, that's true. 1 out of 4 have been sorted. 25% done. Okay, so can we keep going? Can we do the next one?
Okay. Let's do another one.
Okay, great. So excited. So we're going to start at the we have to start at the beginning again, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So we start at 7, and then we're like 7. You are my new best friend. I'm like a friend whore a little bit, right? Like I'm like a friend slut a little bit. That's okay. It's okay. It's fine. I'm very bubbly. So I'm best friends with 7. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say 7, we're going to take you home. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look at its neighbor, 4. And I'm going to say, 7, are you bigger than 4? Yes, you are. Swap time.
Yep. Now you got 4, 7, 1, 9.
4, 7, 1, 9. Okay. Still friends with 7. Going to compare 7 with its neighbor, 1. 7, are you bigger than 1? Yes, you are. Swap time.
Yep.
Now 7 is in the third place. So now we have 4, 1, 7, 9. Mm-hmm. Oh, see, this is tricky. This is tricky because it's like 9 is my ex now. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like introducing like, a new boyfriend
look at
and
me.
An ex-boyfriend. After, yeah. You
know, like, that's but tell awkward. Me if you're larger or smaller.
Oh my God, I love that. Okay, so now I have to compare 7 to 9 and go, 7, are you bigger than 9? No, you're not. twist.
Yeah. That's the first time that's happened.
That's first time, right? Okay, so then I go, well, this is your place. This is your home. So we're not going to swap. So this is a no swap situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I guess I'm done with 7. I don't need to look at 9 anymore, right?
Well, yeah, it's actually kind of cool because you are on your second pass. So you know that the element that you just looked at, because you took it through the whole set of items, you right. sorted it, comparing it to every single element, you know it's in the right place. Because
mm-hmm.
you actually ended up with the largest element at the end.
That's
so
true.
You know yeah. you don't need to look at it because the I element you're looking job. At. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, cool. So I'm done with 7. 9 I've already figured out, so I don't need to, you know, we don't look back, we look forward, okay, mm-hmm. on the BaCS podcast. So
we're all about the future. That's true.
And so we don't need to worry about 9. So now my new order is 4, 1, 7, 9.
Yes.
Okay. So like halfway there.
Yep.
Okay. Now we start at the beginning again. This is our third run through. Right?
Yep.
It's our third buddy. Okay. So now I am best friends with 4. 4 and I are like this. You can't see because it's a podcast, but I have my fingers crossed and we're like this.
You're real tight.
Just real tight. And so 4, I'm going to compare with its neighbor, 4 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
4 is bigger than 1. So they're going to swap time.
Yep.
And then I'm going to say, okay, 4, we're still like this. We're still tight, so now I'm going to compare you to my most recent ex, 7. And I'm going to say, 4, are you bigger than 7? No, you're not. Second plot twist. So I leave 4 where it is.
Yep. It's already in the right place. You know by virtue of the fact that you've already done 2 iterations that you're on the third element. So the previous 2 iterations would lead you to believe that the last 2 elements are in the right place.
That's true. Okay. So I've already done 2 iterations, which means 2 elements are done. Now I'm at the end of my 3rd iteration, which means my 3rd element is done.
Mm-hmm.
Now I still have, technically I have 1 more pass, right? Because mm-hmm. I have like 1 more element that I technically haven't checked yet.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can look at 1, once now my new boo. And
yeah, this relationship's not going to last that long, but okay, keep going.
You don't know. You don't know anything. Okay, so number 1, I'm going to go, boo, let's take you home. That's so inappropriate. So number 1, I'm going to compare you to your neighbor, which is 4. Oh, 1 is not bigger than 4, so there is no swap time. This is another no swap situation, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess 1 is already home. You're right. That was a very short-lived relationship. Okay, I think I'm done.
You are done. You've got a sorted Ooh. List. You got 1, 4, 7, 9 in order. And you've got some other things too, which is that you've kind of stumbled upon some interesting truths about bubble sort.
Yeah.
Which is that you had 4 elements, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you had to iterate through the set 3 times to sort completely.
That's true.
But if you had only, let's say instead of 9, 7, 4, 1, instead of 9, 7, 4, 1, let's just say it was 9, 7, 4.
Oh.
Well, you would still need to sort twice,
mm.
but you would only need to do 2 iterations for 3 elements.
Right.
And if you just had 9 and 7, you just need to iterate once.
Yeah.
So for 4 numbers, you needed to iterate 3 times. For 3 numbers, you need to iterate twice. For 2 numbers, you need to iterate once. So basically, there's this pattern here, which is that in general, it takes n minus 1 iterations in order to bubble sort your way through a collection of n elements.
Okay, and just to make sure, that's because by the time I get to my last number, I've already sorted everything after it, so there's like no iteration that's actually necessary.
Yeah, yeah, and I think this is actually, so I want to say this with a caveat, which is that you don't actually need to check the last few elements because it's a little redundant, oh. right?
Uh-huh.
So like,
that's true.
Let's say we did 2 iterations, right? We did 9, 7, 4, 1, and we moved 9 to the right spot and we moved 7 to the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
So after those first 2 iterations through the array, we knew kind of that checking the last 2 elements was unnecessary because we had just put 9 in its right spot mm-hmm. and 7 in its right spot.
That's true.
So it's a little redundant because you know through the last 2 iterations that the last 2 elements were done correctly.
Mm.
That's also like a pattern in bubble sort too, where after, let's just say, X number of iterations, checking the last X elements in the collection is kind of redundant.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's like with each iteration, we get a little bit more efficient because we have less work to do.
Yes. Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Would you not say that?
No, I guess I've never thought about it that way, but you're right. Oh, okay. I think you're right that in a way it's like, you know, you have less to sort, and right. because you have more knowledge about what you've sorted and the way you've sorted, you can kind of assume things.
Okay.
And so the reason I think that this is interesting is because if you take that into account where you're like, oh, I sorted the last two numbers, don't check the last two numbers, you can optimize bubble sort.
Ooh.
And improve it, because I'll give you a little spoiler alert, it's not very efficient.
Okay, that was like, you know, my next question was going to be, so this whole thing makes sense to me. I totally get it. I have, you know, a string of booze. They're all home. It's great. But I don't see the bubble part of bubble sort. Like, why is it called bubble sort?
This does actually have to do with your booze. So this is great.
Ooh.
So it's not that the number 9 was always destined to be like your first love. I didn't know where that sentence was going, but it worked out.
It worked out great. I really appreciate it.
But what really, it just so happened that that was the case because it was the first number and it was also the largest in the set. Mm-hmm. But imagine that it was a jumbled order and you had, for example, 4 and then 9. You would have started at 4, said, oh, is 4 larger or smaller than 9? It's smaller. So then you would have moved on to the next element, and you would have said, okay, now I'm going to look at 9. And then you would have continued with 9 and said, oh, 9 is still the biggest. 9 is still the biggest. And eventually what would have happened, and if you kind of visualize bubble sort, and you can look it up online later, you can look at visualizations of bubble sort where the number that is the largest in the first iteration makes its way to the end. Then the second largest number makes its way to the end.
Yeah.
And so the numbers, the largest numbers, begin to sort of bubble up towards the end of the list where they belong. So the big numbers start to go home first, and then the little numbers are the party animals who stay out late, and they're like, I'm not going home till 7.
One was definitely a party animal. Yeah, I remember that.
So that's why it's called bubble sort, is because the large numbers begin to bubble up to the end of the list.
Okay.
After each pass, the largest number that hasn't been sorted ends up in the sorted section.
Okay. I buy that. That works. Okay. So you said something earlier about how bubble sort is not very efficient. Because I think I did a very efficient job, thank you very much, sorting all my booze. So what makes it so inefficient? What's so bad about it?
Well, I would like to point out that in the first pass, we ended up with 9 in the right spot.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But none of the other numbers were in the right spot.
That's true.
And then in the next iteration, you moved another number over to the right spot, I guess you could say. But the rest of the numbers weren't sorted. And so what you're basically having to do if you were coding bubble sort is you're having to do kind of double the iteration. So you can kind of think of it as like a loop within a loop. Or an iteration within an iteration.
True.
That's not good.
Because with each friend that I make, I have to check all the other friends.
Yep. For every new boo, you're like, are you better than him? Are you better than her? Are you better? All right, new boo.
That.
And then you keep doing this comparison thing.
That is so me.
Yeah. But we can kind of talk about that in mathematical terms, or rather in big O notation terms.
Okay.
So what we're basically having to do is, if we have n number of elements, we effectively have to take n number of iterations through the array.
Right.
Because we're going to end up looking at every element because we have to sort every element.
True.
And within each iteration, as you mentioned, we're going to check all the elements, n number of elements in the array, because we're comparing the element we're moving with all of its neighbors as it moves along. So what you're doing is making n iterations and n comparisons or checks. So that's n times n steps in total to perform bubble sort. And n times n is n squared.
Uh-oh. That's not bad. I remember this. I remember this is the bad one.
Yeah, it's the bad one. It's back.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
Well, this is what we call O of n squared or quadratic runtime, which basically means like if our data set were to double from 4 elements to 8, then the amount of time that it would take for us to sort all of them would quadruple, which is why we say that it increases quadratically.
Okay. Well, that sucks. Yeah. I was excited. I had the word bubble in it. I had my booze. I got to chuck them against each other. Like, it sounded like a great time. And now you're like, no, it actually sucks.
Well, I actually think it's not that bad if it's a small data set.
Okay.
Because, you know, like.
It's fine.
I guess if you have, for example, 4 elements, then you would have to take 16 steps. Maybe that doesn't matter.
Okay.
Maybe 16 steps isn't a lot.
But if you got like a million.
Oof, no,
a million booze. Can you even imagine?
I couldn't keep track of that.
That's just way too many.
A lot of emotional energy and scheduling. Yeah. And then you have
for
to
them,
make sure.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Anyways, that's time complexity. Time complexity is where Bubble Sort really, really, really fails. Because
does not do a good
it's,
job.
It's not okay. Good. In terms of space complexity.
Oh, yeah. There's 2 complexities, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, space complexity is almost like when you think about how bad it performs time-wise, you almost don't even care about space complexity because you're like, that's why true. Would I even bother? Yeah. But it is important to consider both. And the interesting thing is that it doesn't take a large amount of memory in the sense that all you really need in terms of like variables or memory in to hold on to things while you're doing this sort is just like a couple pointers, a couple references.
Okay.
So we can say that it has O of 1 or constant space complexity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice.
That is nice because we're doing everything in place.
Yes, but it's going to take you a long ass time, so maybe don't do it.
So still don't do it. But if you have to, at least you don't need more room.
Trying to look on the bright side here.
Trying to find the silver lining.
There's one other bad thing that I want to say about Bubble Sort,
yeah.
But there's a clever way that you can fix it,
okay.
Which was maybe obvious, which is that if you're running Bubble Sort on a list that is already sorted, you're still going to check everything by default, right? Which is kind of silly because you'd be like, ah, let me compare 9. Let me compare this. Let me compare that. And then you're like, ah, it's already sorted.
Mm-hmm.
So one optimization you can do for that is you can just assume that if you've gone through an iteration and never swapped any elements, then you know that I haven't swapped anything, so everything's in its correct order.
Oh.
So that means the list is already sorted and you can sort of short circuit out of Bubble Sort.
I love that.
Yeah, you can just be like, oh, no swaps.
I love that. See? I had hope. I believed.
It's a redeeming quality, I guess.
Nice. Okay. So basically, Bubble Sort is kind of crappy, but that's okay. You can still organize your booze with it. It just might take a really long time, but it won't take up any space, which is good because, you know, you got to keep your booze in their place.
Yeah. I guess
the
other
is the lesson today.
My main takeaway from it also is like you aren't ever going to probably write it. You don't want to use it. If you see it, it's bad. Run away. And it might come up in a computer science course or whatever because people like to use it to be like, hey, look at how bad it is. Which is, I guess, what I just did. So
yeah. Okay. I have to say it is not as scary as I was afraid it was going to be. I really thought it was going to be like some. Because I hear about it a ton, you know, I thought it was going to be some scary thing, but it's not that bad. And that's the end of today's show. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and make sure to check out Vaidehi's blog post. Link to that is in your show notes. Also, make sure to take a listen to the Dev Discuss podcast that I helped make. It's the first original podcast from Dev, a global community of software developers of all backgrounds and experience levels. And the show covers burning topics that impact the daily lives of programmers and beyond, hosted by Dev co-founders Ben Halpern and Jess Lee.
Vaidehi, you want to say goodbye?
Bye. Thanks for listening. See you next week. So now, after my second swap, my new order as of now is 7. Oh, I got a burp. Hold on. That was a bubble. Okay.
You know, that's the best episode for that to happen in.
Right? It happens every episode, but that one was like appropriate.